If you got your list, if you didn't, you can get one out in the foyer. We're praying and believing God. And there's got some scriptures there. We won't read them, but they're there for to help you and encourage you to read over these. But we're going to pray for those on our list right now. So if you don't have a list, but yet you've got some people on your heart that God has been speaking, maybe you've already been praying for, you join together with us. We're going to pray and believe for God to save and to deliver our families, our friends, or whoever you, enemies, doesn't matter, anybody you got on your list. We're going to go to God in prayer right now. Now, Father, we lift up these before you. God, you're not willing that any should perish. You're not willing that these loved ones, these friends, these co-workers, God, we call them before you. We thank you, oh God, as we lay our hand upon them, as we lift them up, oh God, before you right now, that your ear is open to our cry. Father, it is your will. The blood of Jesus has been shed, and we thank you for their salvation. God, we ask, send laborers by their path. Send someone by to speak to them. Someone, Lord, you know that their heart will be open to, and Father, that will speak the message of the grace, the saving grace, the saving power of Jesus Christ into our families and loved ones. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. Father, for our communities, we pray. Father, here in Boynton Beach and Lake Worth and Delray and Wellington and all around here, Green Acres, Lord, all this area of South Florida, we thank you, Lord, that you are the Lord of the harvest. We thank you for moving upon this part of South Florida, oh God. And Father, we believe for a mighty harvest to be reaped. We pray for an outpouring of your Spirit upon the hearts and lives of men and women, boys and girls, throughout this area of South Florida. God, use us here at Grace to be a mighty reaping instrument for you. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Where's Janet? Is Janet here? Hang on. Janet, come on up here just a minute. Today is Janet's last Sunday with us. She's moving back. Is it to Indiana? Is that right? Illinois. How many of you got your Bibles? Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you love Yeshua? Yeah. Or as we say in English, Joshua. Hallelujah. God's spoken a word to us, and I want to encourage you in that. We're going to move toward increase. Now, God has spoken a word to us, individually and corporately, about increase this year. But listen, increase will not just fall on you while you're asleep under the apple tree. While you're taking your ease in Zion, increase will not come on you. Now, God called the people out, we know that, the Israelites. He called them out of the world, Egypt. He called them to possess a promised land. God had increase for them. And I don't have time now, but if you'll read what God said that he had promised to Israel, the place he was taking them, he said it's a good land, it's a fruitful land, it's a land that receives the water and the rain from heaven. He said you're going to have houses you didn't have to build, you're going to have herds you didn't have to grow. All the it was, when you've been a slave and you've been having to walk on that treadmill to irrigate a crops for somebody else that you don't get to eat any of it. Hello. Man, I'm telling you what, that was a big picture of increase for them. And God said here to Joshua, verse 1, after the death of Moses, servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Now, I want to stop there a minute. Now notice, God had promised this land, a land flow of milk and honey in one description, a land that was so rich and so fertile, when the 10 spies came back, they brought back a cluster of grapes on a pole between two men. Boy, that's some big grapes. Hallelujah. Would that they had looked at the size of the grapes instead of the size of the giants. See, many times that's what we do. We look at the size of the giants instead of the size of the blessing. What has God said? But I want you to notice something here. He said, I've given you every place where you set your what? Foot. Now, if God said that to them and they just stood there, how much territory would they get? But they had a promise. They had a promise. I'm going to give you the land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a wonderful land. It's a blessed land. It's a great land. There's silver and gold waiting for you there. There's houses you didn't build waiting for you there. Wherever you put your foot, That's what they did. Mike, can you believe that? I can. There's a whole bunch of people in the body of Christ. He's got the same attitude. That, you know, we have come to the place where we think, if I just maintain, I'm a pretty super Christian. You know, I ain't chewing, I ain't smoking. I didn't go back to kicking the cat. I'm pretty good. But what did God say? He said, every place what? Where you what? Put your foot. See, the problem with the children of Israel to begin with was what? They kept having to reclaim the same land. Well, I've seen a lot of Christians that way. They haven't grown. They've been a Christian for 10 years, but they keep having to cover the same territory. Every time you see them, pray for me about the same thing. Pray for me about the same thing. Pray for me about the same thing. And you know what? They're not. Going in circles is not increase. That is a type of having to reclaim the same land, the same land, the same land. When are we going to grow and move forward? When you decide. I said, when you decide. When you decide that it's better to go forward than it is in a circle. When you decide it's better to move forward in faith than it is to step backwards. Come on. You know, I've had people tell me, oh, Pastor, you got too much stuff you're wanting to do. You got too big a vision. Well, that's going forward. You remember Abraham when he came into the land? How many remember that? And he pitched his tent in a particular place. And he was there in that tent for a period of time. And you know what God did? Because God knows. How many know God knows human nature? He does, doesn't he? But there came a time, we won't read it for the sake of time this morning, but if you know your Bible, you know this. There came a time when God says, okay, Abraham, now I want you to pack up your tent, and I want you to go up and down the breadth of this land that I've given you. Because he knew human nature. If Abraham stayed too long right there in one place, he would begin to develop an attitude of maintaining. An attitude of being comfortable. An attitude that, you know, man, this is great. I'm right here. There's water right there. There's pasture for the sheep right there. I got my tent under a big old shade tree. Man, life doesn't get any better than this. Come on. That's human. That's our human nature. We find a sweet spot and we, oh, man, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. But God told Joshua, he said, listen. He said, I've got bigger plans than that for you and for this nation. He said, I've got greater things for you to achieve and to overcome. I've got things that I want to be your possession that you've never dreamed of yet. But it's out there. It's not here. And as long as I stay here, I can't possess out there. And the same thing is true for us, Grace Community Church. As long as we stay in one spot and we are not willing to move forward. And you know what? It takes faith to move forward. It takes faith to do something new. It takes vision to move out there and do something new. And to say we will do this in the face of it looks like we can't. I was praying this morning. I pray other mornings too. But just so you know. But I was praying this morning. Listen, and God spoke to this in my heart. Here's what I endeavor to do, Grace. Here's what I endeavor to do. This is what God said. He said, preach and teach to the people's potential in Christ and not to their problems in the world. I'm endeavoring for you to open up the potential that you have in Christ. Not where you're at, not what your problems are, not this little patch of land that you're standing on now, and you're either sort of kind of satisfied, and most people aren't, and wish you had more, but boy, it's kind of risky. I'm talking about your potential in Christ. I'm not talking about what you can do in yourself. When I say you can possess the land, what am I talking about? I'm talking about your potential in Christ. In other words, I'm a potential preacher, not a problem preacher. I'm an equipping teacher, not an enabling teacher. I'm not going to enable you. I'm an overcoming preacher, not a coping preacher. Amen? I want to awaken into you the power and potential that is yours in Christ Jesus. That's why God gives us a vision, so we step out into something that's bigger than I am. If you step out into something that I can't figure it all out up here. But I've got somebody greater on the inside of me. I've got a sure word from heaven. And we will step out and possess the land that God has given us. And God wants you to do the same thing. It's not just for preachers. I'd be like this whether I was a preacher or not. You know why? Because I'm a child of God before I'm a preacher. Amen. I'm a joint heir with Jesus before I'm a preacher. Hallelujah. I'm an overcomer before I'm a preacher. How about you? What are you? No, you're not. We're going to awaken in you your potential. Look down in verse 11, Joshua 1:11. I may not get past my introduction today. Go. So Joshua, you know, ordered the officers. He said, officials of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. I'm talking about how do we move into increase. I'm just introducing it, but how do we move into increase? Notice, they were getting ready to go into land, possess their possession for increase. Notice he said, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land your God is giving you for your own. Now, man, that's the kind of leader I'd like to have. That's the kind of leader I want to follow. I mean, he could have come in and said, you know what? For 40 years now, we've been out here in the desert. And it's been hot and tired, and I'm telling you what, and I saw your papa, and I know your daddy, and boy, they were hard-headed, and I bet you're hard-headed too. We're probably not going to be able to make it. No, he said, listen, you get your stuff ready. You get your supplies ready. You get your house in order, because we're going over the Jordan, and we are going to possess the land that God has given us. And that's what I'm saying to you, Grace. Get your house in order. Get your stuff ready, because we're going over the land, and we go over the river. We're going to possess the land that God has called us to possess. I'm not nearly as interested in what's behind me as is what's ahead of me. That's the way I feel too. If we don't, listen, we must be willing to take possession of our increase, or it will stay in the hands of the enemy. Until Israel said, I will put my foot forward. I will move forward. I will cross the Jordan. They didn't have any boats. They didn't have any construction crews. They didn't have any pontoon floating bridges. They didn't have any of that. But they had God. How are you going to get across that river, Joshua? I don't know, God. How are you going to overcome those walled cities? I don't know, God. How are you going to feed all these? I don't know, God. You know, we've reduced God to, if we can figure it out in our head, God must be able to do it. But if we can't figure it out, probably God's not going to do it. My God, if your God's only as big as your head, you might as well be your own God. I'm going to say that again. If your God's only as big as your head, you might as well be your own God. Isn't that right? This is a pretty good introduction. All right, I'm going to talk about some things real quickly. Moving, because listen, I'm going to keep hitting this thing, but you've got to move towards your increase. You can't, he said, every place where you stand, I'm giving it to you. No, he said, every place what? You put your foot. And increase mean, and progress means what? Moving forward. Human nature is we want to count. Human nature is we want to go back. You know why we want to go back? Because we've already conquered that, so we're comfortable with that. But this forward stuff, man, this is new territory. Man, those are new giants. I never seen a giant like that before. Man, I've killed big giants and wide giants and thick giants and heavy giants and green giants, but this is the first time I've ever seen a two-headed giant. Well, bless God, I got and handled a two-headed giant. Isn't that right? Whatever it is. The first thing is we have got to recognize and accept and understand our call. Turn over to John 15. John 15, verse 16. Notice Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Say this, Jesus chose me. Say that again. You ought to just go home and meditate sometime on this verse. I've been chosen by God. I've been chosen by God. I've been chosen by Almighty God. I have been chosen by God on purpose. He willed it. He desired it. He thought it up, and He did it. Wow. What did you have to do in all that? See, that's your problem. As soon as you get your eyes on yourself, there you are. It's just one big problem. One big mess. He said, I chose you and appointed you to go, what? And bear fruit. Fruit that will last. So God has chosen us. Notice He said, I've chosen you to go. He didn't say, I've chosen you to sit. I've chosen you to sit. No, He said, I've chosen you to go. If you look in the Great Commission, what's one of the key words there is what? Go. He says go, doesn't He? Go. That means motion. That means action, doesn't it? That means I'm going to have to exercise some faith. That means I'm going to have to put one foot in front of the other. I'm going to have to go. So the first thing, if we're going to move toward our increase, is understand God has called you and chosen you to be fruitful. To be fruitful. Now what does it mean? What's He talking about? To be fruitful. Look over in Psalm chapter 2. You still out there? I'm not boring you, Emma. Okay, good. Psalm 2. Verse 8. Look at this. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance. He said, go be fruitful. Then He says, ask of me, and I will make the nations, or give the nations to you as your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. Pause and let you think on that, man. What? He's given you the ends of the earth. And yet, we when God tells us to do something, we strain and struggle at it. Listen, anytime God tells you to do something, guess what? He's going to be with you. He is in you. He's going to enable you. But you know what? He won't do one thing till you what? Put your foot out. Did Peter need power to walk on the water as long as he was in the boat? See, that's what we do. Well, God, as soon as that power comes on me, I'll get out of the boat. No, He said, you get out of the boat and the power will come on you. Hello? Well, as soon as you show me how we can do this, Lord, then we'll get on the radio, we'll get on TV, we'll do these things as soon as you can show us how this church can do it. Well, I'm going to tell you what. The how is called the Holy Ghost. The how of God is the Holy Ghost. He is the divine energizer. He is the divine power. He will go into motion as soon as you put one foot forward. What is the dream God's put in your heart? What is the thing God's put in your heart? Well, one of the things ought to be for the nations, for the harvest. He said, for the nations. He said, this is what I'll give you for the inheritance. See, we're all worried about paying the rent and doing all that stuff. All that little stuff. Listen, you need to lift up your eyes. You need to lift up your vision. You need to lift up your faith. Listen, I'm out for the nations. I'm out for to see the salvation of people in the nations. I want people saved and healed and filled and delivered and glorifying God. Churches growing up and being planted. Ministers being raised up. Laborers being sent out. That's what I want to see. He said, if you seek this first, He said, all this other stuff be added to you. I said, He said, it be added to you. You just turn around one day and say, where'd all this wealth come from? I was so busy with the stuff for the kingdom, I didn't even notice it that God had made me wealthy. I just turn around all of a sudden and realize, here I am. Come on. We're so everlastingly conscious of the checkbook. Listen, there's another book you ought to get in and check first. This ought to be your check book first. Check the book first. Check this book first. Check what God said first. Amen? He said, I've called you, appointed you. Then in 1 Corinthians 1:21, it says He's anointed us. You're anointed for increase. You're anointed to be fruitful. You can be fruitful out in the marketplace where you go. Where the school or the workplace or office or the job site or wherever it is. That's where it's happening. Are you listening to me? See, we come to church wanting to think this is where it's happening. No, it's happening out there. You come here to get built up, to be strengthened, to be encouraged, to be taught, and so forth. But yet, listen, where it's happening is out there. That's where it's happening. Are you listening? And so he has appointed you. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says he's anointed you for increase. Colossians 1, turn over there a minute. We're talking about how do we go about getting this increase that God's talking about. Because, I love to get excited. And we want to get excited about the things of God. But we also want to know how do we possess it. Amen? How do we possess it? 1:13, it says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. Here's what I want you to understand. God has brought you out for a purpose. He's brought you out for a purpose. Notice what he says. You're free from in order to be free for. You're free from in order to be free for. Why did God deliver you? Why did he forgive your sins? Why did he set you free? Why did he deliver you, as the scriptures say, from the dominion of darkness? It's for this purpose, what? That you might go out and bear fruit. That you might go out and bear fruit. That you may go out and expand the kingdom. That you may go out and tell men and women other places that Jesus has come, that Jesus has died, that Jesus arose, that the power of God is present, that your sins can be forgiven, that you can be healed, that you can be set free, that you can know God. All the things that you and I enjoy daily, that's what he's called you to do. He wants you to be fruitful with that. And he saved you and delivered you from something in order to what? To deliver you to something. See, a lot of times we think, oh my goodness, I'm forgiven, I'm saved, I'm blessed, I have the Holy Spirit, all these things, man, and then we just sit down and we just bask. Oh, yeah, we just soak it in, bask. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, isn't this great, isn't this great, isn't this wonderful? You know? That'd be like you were on a ship that went down at sea and you got in a lifeboat. And you're just, oh, you're so thankful that you managed to get in the lifeboat and everything. And you're just, oh, man. And look at this. In the lifeboat, there happened to be a big container of food. Boy, I'm telling you what. Man, how blessed can you get? How blessed can you? And all around you, people are hollering and crying and screaming, help me, help me, help me. Oh, man, pass the salami. Isn't this great? Boy, this one don't taste as good as the last one did it? And all around you, people are crying out, to be rescued. Come on, church. You were saved from something, that's true, but you were saved for something too. What? To pull some others out with you. To lift some others up with you. To let others taste of the goodness of God with you. And listen, that doesn't happen if we just sit still. What, I want to get on radio? I want to get the message out. I just want to get the message out. I believe this message is worth getting out. I believe this message needs to go out. It needs to go out into all the world. Amen? And I'm going to use every means I can. I'm going to use the internet, radio, TV, CDs, podcasts, anything else that comes up, Facebook, you name it. We're going to use it. You know why? Because that's where people are. He's called us to be fruitful. He didn't call us to the spa. That's later on. Amen. The spa's coming, but that's not now. Isn't that right? Then here's the thing. We got to recognize and accept our mission for increase. I'm going to read this even though I don't care how many times we've read it. I'm going to read it again. Matthew 28. I'm going to read the Great Commission because it hasn't expired. And it is not the Great Suggestion. It is the Great Commission. Why has he saved you? Why has he brought you out? Oh, so we can come to church and somebody can lay hands on me and I can fall down again. Well, nothing wrong with that, but I'm going to tell you what. If that's what we reduce being a part of the kingdom about, I'm telling you, we're pitiful shape. Oh, I just want to come and I just want to sense the presence of God again. For the 49,000th, 189 millionth to the 10th power time. And people out there have never experienced it. Won't you take that presence of God on you? Take it out to them. Take it out to them. Matthew 28:18. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. There's that word go again. Go and make disciples, what? Of all nations. Of all nations. How does God think? Nations. Nations. Cities. People groups. Nations. God's thinking nations. Come on. You know, when you start thinking nations, it makes witnessing to that individual a pretty small thing. Isn't that right? When we think about reaching nations, then it's not too hard to reach a neighbor. Reaching nations. You know how God sees you? He sees you as a nation reacher. You've got the potential in you to reach nations. We've got the potential in us, Grace, to reach nations. You are reaching nations. But God says, we can reach more people in those nations. We can reach more. We can be more fruitful. Amen? Listen, you know, I'm not nearly as concerned about retirement down here as I am up there. If we were as diligent in the church in laying up treasure up there as we have been laying down up treasure down here, I'm telling you what, we'd be way ahead of the game. Because when you do what we're talking about here, you know what you're doing? You're laying up treasure up there. You're laying up treasure in heaven. Are you listening to me? You know, you ever thought about it? Why would you need treasure in heaven? Huh? Why would you need treasure in heaven? You ever thought about that? But our idea of heaven's going to have to change, isn't it? Because we're thinking heaven, there's no need in heaven. Then why in the world would he have you lay up treasure in heaven? Some of you are looking at me like, huh? Well, isn't that right? I mean, the streets are gold. Amen. You're going to be in the presence of God. You're going to have a brand new body. It's never going to die. It's not going to be sick. I wonder what those treasures are. Why do you need treasures? Well, there must be a gain and a loss system up there. But there's got to be a gain and a loss, hadn't there? Otherwise, what difference would it matter? Why should I be concerned about laying up treasure if there's no difference? If there's no gain or loss? Are y'all listening to me this morning? Come on. Obviously, there's going to be a different kind of poverty in heaven. Ooh, man, now, Pastor, you've really gone out there on a limb. Come on. Read over there in Corinthians. Paul said, he said, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, remember that? He said that each one is going to give an account for what they did in their body, the deeds done in the body. He said, you know, he said some are going to get a reward. Others are going to lose a reward. Hello? Well, if there's no loss or, you know, there's no sense of loss or gain in heaven, we're all going to have the same, then what in the world is all that about? That's just a figurehead thing, isn't it? Hello? Well, I don't have time to get into that, but maybe you'll think about that. Well, you know, I'm just sitting down here waiting until I go to heaven. Well, you may be the poorest blessed person up there, for lack of a better way to put it. Come on. Come on. Oh, man. Listen to this. My time's almost up. Listen. The fields are where the increase occurs, not the barns. The fields are where the action is, not the barracks. This is the barracks. We're coming in here for training. We're coming in here to be taught. This is not the field. This is the barracks. This is the barn. See, as the harvest comes in, the barn will reflect it, but the increase is out in the field. You've never seen a farmer plowing in his barn. You've never seen a farmer reaping in his barn. You think that's the dumbest farmer I ever seen? We better go help him. He's a few French fries short of a Happy Meal there. Doing something like that, but yet that's what we think. We'll just get all these programs going, and we'll paint our barn, man, and man, we'll paper the inside. Nobody'll ever see a barn that ever looked like this. Boy, that grain will want to just jump in the barn. Come on. No, the harvest takes place out there in the field, doesn't it? You and I have got to go out there. Out there is where the action is. Out there is where we put to use our faith, our prayers, the name of Jesus, all the things, the weapons God's given us, all the equipment. It's field equipment. You know, you ever been to museums, different kinds of museums? You can go to museums. You know, if you go, you ever get the chance, if you're ever in D.C., go to the Smithsonian. Man, that place is something else. But, you know, they got different wings that, you know, natural history and space and aeronautics and, you know, different sections or wings of the Smithsonian. You know, one of them they got there has to do with war, you know, with battle and war. And you can go and see all kinds of uniforms and all kinds of weapons and everything displayed. Well, I got news for you, church. That's not how God wants us to. He didn't give us weapons to display them on our walls like trophies. He gave us weapons that are field-tested, battle-tested, and we are to take the weapons of God, and we are to go out and put our foot in front of the other one, and when we come to a walled city, we'll say, "You will fall before me in the name of the Lord my God." Instead, you know, we want to stay, you know, in the barracks, learning how to, you know, "Now tell me one more time, how do you shoot this gun? Now tell me one more time, now who's the enemy? Now tell me one more time, what are we doing? Now tell me one more time, which way do I shoot?" Come on, because we're still shooting each other. Come on, we're still not sure who the enemy is. We still think it's flesh and blood. We keep going over and over those things. How can we make progress that way? At some point, we got to rise up and say, "Bless God. Take the gun, hold it up, point it in that direction. That's the enemy. Now shoot." Isn't that right? Am I boring you? Okay. Second Corinthians 10, he talks about the weapons of our warfare. They're mighty through God. Mighty through God. We're talking about how do we achieve this increase God's given us. It's not just going to fall in your lap. But on the other hand, you are well able to possess the land. In 2 Corinthians there, he said, "The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Strongholds. And you know what? The only thing that will hold back people in captivity are strongholds. Whether it's stronghold in my life that's keeping me from putting my foot forward and moving forward, or it's the strongholds in people's lives that I am out to rescue. Are you listening? And God says that he has given us mighty weapons that can pull down every stronghold. Are you listening? Every stronghold. If it's a stronghold of timidity, God's word can tear it down. If it's a stronghold of fear, God's word can tear it down. If it's a stronghold of sickness, Jesus will be your healer. Whatever it is, if it's whatever the stronghold is that is holding you back, I promise you, if you will get into this book, I know. Say, "Pastor, you sound like a broken record." Well, remember the story I told you about the guy who was a brand new pastor to church? He took the church over. You know, on the first Sunday, he preached a certain message from a certain text. Then that night, he preached it again. Then Wednesday night, he preached it again. And they were like, you know, and then next week, he preached it twice again. You know, and by then, they were like, just like you're looking at me now. Like, oh. You know, and of course, you know, some of them came and wanted to help him out and talk to him about it. So why are you, why don't you preach something new? He said, "Well, I will as soon as you get this one." You know, I think maybe there's a lot of wisdom in that sometimes. Maybe we try to cover too much. Maybe we need to go, you know, A, A, A. Everybody say A, A, A. We get, then we can move to B. Isn't that right? Instead, we want to go A to Z all in one time. But here's the thing. We've got to master, okay, the weapons that God's given us. Now, I'm just going to mention a few of the weapons, your arsenal, real quickly here. The Word of God, I already mentioned. Hebrews 4:12 says it's like a two-edged sword. Listen, all that I'm teaching and preaching, if you're not going to get into the Word of God for yourself, just let it go in one ear and out the other. Because it's not going to do you any good. if you don't add something to it, if you don't get into the Word for yourself, if you don't build your faith up for yourself, it is not going to do you any good. All you're going to do is it's going to touch your emotions a little bit, and you're going to get excited for a few minutes in here with us, and you're going to feel a thrill in your physical body a little bit, and then you're going to go out and you're going to live the same old way. The name of Jesus in prayer, John 14. Jesus said, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will do it. Listen, start asking him for the salvation of our city. Stop fretting over the rent. Ask for a city. You'll get the rent. Hello? The rent check will come with it. Just ask for the people. Ask for the city. God, we want the city. We want souls. God, then, you know, once you do, see, God, we want the state. Once you get a state, you say, God, we want a nation. Oh, Pastor, I just don't think. Well, I'm going to think with God. He thinks we can. You know why? Because he's with us. He's in us. He's for us. The power of the blood. 1 Peter 1:18, Peter said this. He said, knowing that you are not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the incorruptible, but by the blood of, the precious blood of Jesus. Listen, the power of the blood. You know, we've kind of gotten away from that theme, haven't we, in the church? Man, when I was growing up, we used to sing about the blood. We used to preach about it, talk about it, use it as a weapon. It is a weapon. The blood of Jesus is a powerful weapon against demonic forces. The blood of Jesus can set people free. We need to rise up in it. Stop looking at yourself and start looking at the weapons that God has given us. He's given us his word. He's given us the name of Jesus in prayer. He's given us the blood. And Acts 1:8 talks about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Listen, there's a hotline right now. Listen, I'm like Paul. Where Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than y'all. I love it. I think it's powerful. It's wonderful. It's God given. I don't have time to get it now. But if you know me, I'm all for it, in it, and everything. But I want to tell you what, we've got to be careful that we don't reduce the Holy Spirit just to speaking in tongues. There is more to it than that. There is a dunamis power. There is a power to break strongholds. There is a power to break sickness. There is a power to set people free so that they can be saved in a city. Could the Holy Spirit set a whole community free? Could he? Let's really start. Could the Holy Spirit set a whole nation free? Woo. Well, why hasn't he? Well, it could be. Why? Jesus said, you have not because you... Oh, God, just get me by. Oh, God, just help me to get by today. Oh, God, just help me, you know, not to hate my mother-in-law today. Oh, we're really up there, you know, now. Because, you know, I'm not hating my mother-in-law. I've just about arrived. Come on, dear Lord. Then we want to jump up and shout, man, we're full gospel. Greater is he that's in me than the mother-in-law that's in the world. That's not what that said. Dear God. He didn't anoint you with the Holy Ghost so you could love your mother-in-law. You ought to love her if you're saved. If you don't love, you're not saved, the Bible says. Isn't that right? You don't need the Holy Ghost. You need to get saved. Yeah, but you don't know. Well, ain't got nothing to do about whether I know her or not. Hey, man, we all got our stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, that's not what the Holy Ghost didn't anoint you so you could love your mother-in-law. Come on. So you wouldn't, you know, cuss your boss out and kick the cat. That's not what he anointed you, what, so that you could go, what, to the nations. You read there in Acts 1. He said, the power of the Holy Spirit comes on you, you're going to be my witnesses. We need some witness power on us. And then finally, the armor of God, Ephesians 6:10, you know about it. He said, put on the full armor of God. And I'm going to add this, don't take it off. put it on and leave it on. Isn't that right? You know, people, well, I'm going to put on the armor of God again today. Well, why'd you take it off? That's what I want. I mean, that's good. If you realize you take it off, you should put it back on. But why you keep taking it off? Just put it on, leave it on. Isn't that right? In other words, stay saved all the time. Why just be saved on Sundays and Wednesdays? Be saved Mondays, too. Monday's a great day to be saved. Man, Thursday's just absolutely out there being saved. Man, Saturday, you can't beat Saturday for being saved. Woo! In other words, all the time, isn't that right? Do you know, now get this, you know there's nothing holy about Sunday? Oh boy, I done got them stirred up now. How many of you know Romans 14 is in the Bible? You ever heard of chapter 14 of Romans? You ought to read it over there one day. Paul said the only reason a day is holy is because what? A man sets it apart to be holy. He said all days are the same. Come on. I mean, we could have this meeting on Monday. It wouldn't matter to God, wouldn't it? God don't care. Come on. We could meet on Friday. Wouldn't matter to God. It's holy. Why? Because we've made it holy. We've sanctified it. Why? Because we set it apart to worship God. That makes it holy. Do you know what? Every day can be a Sabbath. Every day I can live in victory. Every day I can live in faith. Every day I can take the armor of God. Every day I can walk in victory. Don't have to just be Sunday from, as we used to say, the witching hour from 10:30 to 12. Whoo, boy, you just never seen such a bunch of overcomers from between 10 and 12 o'clock on Sunday. Man alive, we can do anything. We can believe anything. We can pray any prayer. We can do anything for 2 hours. Come on. But Lord, don't let me go home and face all that stuff. We got to grow up. We got to possess our possessions. So here's the thing. What did he say? Everywhere you put your... Now, what has God spoken to you about where you need to put your foot? God will never tell you to back up. If somebody's telling you to back up, that ain't God. That's not the Spirit of God. Come on. God will never tell you, go back where you were. Are you listening to me? He never tells you to back up spiritually. He says this. He said, move forward. He said, remember when Moses and them came to the Red Sea, their first obstacle? He said, Moses, tell the people to go forward. Lord, some of these folks can't swim. What about all those, what about, isn't that us? So, as soon as we got to, we start, like God hadn't thought it through. Well, God, let me help you out here. I know you really hadn't thought it through the way I will. Let me just remind you something you hadn't thought about, God. Oh, man. Oh, aren't we pitiful? Golly, talk about an ego. Boy, we got one about this big, don't we, God? It's filling the room. Don't you think God knows that? He said, here's the thing. He said, I'll handle that. Here's what I want you to do. Pick your foot up. Come on, man of faith and power. Might be man of paste and flour, I don't know. But you're trying to get that foot up. You pick it up. That's what your part is. Can you pick your foot up? Can you move forward? That's what God wants us to do. Can we do that? Can we do that? What has God spoken to you about? Would you stand to your feet? What has God spoken to you about? As it relates to increase, what has he spoken to you about? Maybe it's somebody he wants you to reach out to. Maybe it's ground that you've been going around and around like children. I've been over this ground before. I've been trying to get victory over this for 49 years. Listen, what you need to do is you need to make up your mind. Listen, God said to what? Go forward. He said, wherever you put your foot, I'm going to be there. Wherever you put your foot, I want to be there. Remember the lady with the widow with the oil? She poured, and as long as she poured, the oil flowed. When she stopped, it stopped. It's the same thing with us. As long as we keep putting our foot forward, what? God gives us the land. He gives us the victory. But as soon as we stop, God stops. And see, our problem is we want to see God moving first, then we'll jump in. All right, God, I tell you what, God, you calm all the wind and all the waves, and you solidify that water out there, I'll get out of the boat. Oh, my goodness, an unsaved person would do that. No, God says, look, when the wind's still blowing, the rain's still coming in sheets, everything's, waves are crashing over it, he said, that's when I want you to step out. You step out. I'm going to pray, and I want just you to listen to the Holy Spirit. Whatever he speaks to you about, this is what I want you to do. You are going to be obedient to God. Whatever he says, whatever he's spoken to you to do, if it may be something just written in the book, it may be something he's spoken to your heart, God's dealing with you, he says it's time, he said you've stood there too long in one place, you've been going round and round, it's time to take a step forward, and you're going to do that in faith. We're going to do that in faith. Now, Father, right now I pray over everyone in this room. I pray, oh God, that you would give us a spirit of faith. And Father, that right now, we listen to the Holy Spirit. We listen to the Holy Spirit. What you would have us to do, we're going to step out. We're going to put our foot forward. God, just like Abraham, you called him out to take him in. Lord, first we got to step out of something before we can step into something. Now you just listen a moment. Father, we're going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. We're going to do what he said to do. We're going to step out. We're going to step forward in faith, believing that you are able. You are bigger. That wherever you direct us, oh God, you will be there with us as we step forward. Lord, we're not looking at the landscape. We're looking at you. We're not looking at the walled city. We're looking at you. We're not looking at the giants. We're looking at you. We're not looking at our own strength. We're looking at you. Thank you, Father. If you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. I want to give you an opportunity. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm ready to meet the Lord. I'm not sure if I'm ready. You know, if I were to die, I'm not sure I'm ready to go and meet the Lord. I'm not sure if my heart's right with God. But I want to be sure. I want to be sure. If that's anybody in this room, if you just raise your hand, I